Hello and welcome along to Off the Canvas podcast. I'm Nick Hobbs, and to coincide with World Mental Health Day, we're going to be speaking to some well-known names from the boxing world to try and have a candid discussion about their personal experiences with mental health. Today we're talking to one of the most cheerful men you could ever hope to meet, who had to deal with his own very dark times 20 years ago when his career was tragically cut short. It's Mr. Spencer Oliver. Okay, Spence, well, firstly, thanks a lot for talking to us today. And seeing as we are talking about mental health, we'll start with how you doing?
Yeah, I'm really good, mate. Really, really good.
You might be the most chipper person I know. Has it always been that way for you?
Absolutely. You know, I've had some tough times as well. You know, when my career finished many years ago now, 20-odd years ago, it finished before it started, really. European champion number two in the world, travelling to the Royal Albert Hall, with my whole future ahead of me, defending my European title for the fifth time, and woke up 2 weeks later in a hospital bed, still thinking I was at the Royal Albert Hall. Now, for a 23-year-old kid, that was a really, really tough thing to deal with, and being told your career was over was really tough, and you've got to find something else to do, something else to fill that void. And it was difficult, mate. And I went through some trying times then as well, trying to find myself, if you like. It was very difficult for a few years. I struggled a lot with depression at the time as well, trying to work out what I was going to do with my life. So yeah, mental health is something that I can sort of relate to.
As a boxer, was a boxer's life a happy life for you?
Yeah, I loved it. It was everything, and I've always been known to have quoted, you know, I loved boxing, and if I could do it all again, I would do it. I would do it in a heartbeat. It's something that I love, and something I was passionate about. I've done it from a seven-year-old kid. It's all I knew, really. I achieved everything as an amateur, was doing really well as a pro. So, yeah, boxing was a really happy time of my life, probably the best time of my life, if I'm honest, and I'm grateful that I'm still involved in it.
You only had one loss in your career, and that was the kind of tragic final fight of your boxing life. How much easier is it, do you think, for a fighter, when you look at them now, to have that sort of momentum going, where everyone's talking about you and you're in the buzz and it looks like you've got this huge future ahead of you in the sport?
Yeah, I think the boxing at the moment is really on the up. It's flying at the moment. England is creating so many champions. Success breeds success. And everyone's flying at the moment. Boxing's in a really good place. And, you know, and I think that all the kids out there at the moment are really enjoying it.
If we can go back, Spencer, to May 2nd, 1998, can you just explain to some of the listeners who perhaps aren't that familiar with your story, what happened on that night?
Well, basically, I won the European title in my 11th fight, which was sort of like quicker than anyone had ever won it before. I was 21 years of age. I was super bantamweight, which is 8 stone 10. After I won the European title, I defended it. But your body's still growing at that age, and I was struggling to make the weight. It was getting harder and harder. There was talks of me moving up in weight. There was talk of a world title shot because I was ranked so high with all the governing bodies. And I was going to have one more fight after my last fight at Super Bantam, and then I was going to move up. There was talks of fighting with Nazim Hamid. There were talks at the time of fighting with Wayne McCulloch. So there was big things on the horizon for me. So I was boxing a guy called Sergei Devikov at the Royal Albert Hall. Training had gone well. It was just one of those things. I was struggling a lot to make the weight. I remember, it's a weird one for me because I don't remember the fight at all. Mm. I sort of vaguely remember travelling to the Royal Albert Hall and then waking up 2 weeks later. But, it was just one of those tragic things. I can't put my finger on it. I'd seen Devikov box before. He'd boxed on a couple of my undercards before. He was a mandatory challenger, and it was just a formality that I was going to win the fight. I'd seen him, and there was no, you know, I'd beat people that had beaten him before. So I just thought, you know what? I'm going to turn up. I'm going to get the job done. But it just went horribly wrong that night, and it was my big time on the big stage. Filling the Royal Albert Hall at the time was a massive thing. It was just one of those tragic things that happened in boxing.
Now, I was with you on May 3rd this year, which was the day after the 20th anniversary of the fight. And yeah. Me and you talked about it, and you actually showed me the fight. You showed me the finish. And yeah. I was amazed how happy you were to do that.
Well, do you know,
does it affect you at all when you see it back? Or?
Well, do you know what? I didn't watch the fight, and I watched it once. I remember watching it after, not long after it had happened. And I was working with Sky at the time, and I think Kids Boxing. And I remember watching it thinking, because I don't remember anything about this guy at all. And I watched the fight, and I just remember tears rolling down my face from the moment I put it on to when it finished, really. I think, you know, because I knew I was watching the end of my career, and it was boxing was something I was so passionate about. It was really difficult to deal with, but I think time's a great healer. 20 years on, and I've made a successful career commentating as a pundit for Sky TV and various other things that I do. I do a bit of talk sport, a bit of Radio 5, a bit of Eurosport. I've got I've sort of built up a good career in the business still. Mm-hmm. So I've learned to deal with it. And I think that someone put that clip up and I watched it and I watched it with, where I watched it the first time and I watched it and I cried, I watched it with happiness because I thought to myself, you know what? I got given a second bite of the charity. I come out of it normal, and not many people do. So I sort of flipped it and thought, you know what, I took a positive away from it and thought, you know what, Spence, you're lucky that you got a second shot because not a lot of them do. I thought, you know, I'm doing all right now, I'm doing well and I'm sort of over it. So I watched it that time when I showed it with you, which was the day that I actually saw it, and I watched it with happiness. I thought, you know what, it was what it was, and I come through it, and I think that's the positive that I took from it.
You've had 20 years to adapt, and it is amazing to see how well you're striving now. Can you remember how hard it was straight after, though?
I couldn't begin to tell you, Nick, how hard it was. It was like people saw Spencer, and it's like you said earlier on, you know, he's this happy-go-lucky chappy, and I always give off that front, but the problem is, and this is the problem with mental health and everything, you see one person when they're out and they're, you know, in front of people, but when the door closes, when you're at home, that's when you struggle. And I think that's when I struggled. You know, when I was at home, I struggled dealing with the fact that I couldn't box anymore. I still felt capable to box because I come through it and I made a full recovery. And so it was frustrating. It was really frustrating. I was a young kid and I was watching people box and I was watching people win world titles. And I was thinking, you know, I've beat him or I could beat him. And it was something that was really, really difficult. And so, you know, I'd struggled so much with that. It was like, I couldn't tell you. It was, you know, the times when I was at home, when my family really saw me, was the really difficult times because you have to put on a brave front when you go out, you know, because negativity, people doesn't, you know, it's not a positive thing. People don't attract to that. So I was always a positive person. And that's what I think people love about me, that I'm sort of like that. And I'm very energetic, but yeah, I had some really trying times when I was on my own at home. It was horrible. It was so difficult to deal with.
The people closest to you, when you were putting on this front that you were doing fine and that you were happy, were they able to see through it?
They knew that I wasn't doing fine. Yeah, you know, they knew that I wasn't doing fine. My mum knew that I wasn't doing fine. You know, my dad knew that I wasn't doing fine. I think people that were really close to me at the time, they all knew that I was struggling quite badly, and you know, I had to find myself, I had to sort of get things out of my system, and I come through the other side, and I'm sort of testament to myself, if you like, because it was so difficult, and I could have quite easily gone down a different road, but yeah, people knew that I was struggling. My manager Jess, I've always spoken, me and Jess are still close now, Jess Harding, and you know, he knew how much I was struggling to deal with things. And I have conversations with him about it now, and he says to me, look, Spencer, I had to let you go. I had to let you do what you had to do to get through, you know, to come through. But I think in those sort of situations, it's only you that can pull yourself through those situations. I think, you know, there's a time where you're going to feel sorry for yourself. But then I flipped it over and was like, well, look, Spencer, you're still here, and you've been given a different shot. And I used that energy to pull me through. I think that's what eventually pulled me through. I thought, you know, stop being so selfish. There's other people out there that are not so good. I've not made a full recovery. I finished a marathon with Michael Watson. So a year after I finished boxing, I'd done the marathon for the National Neurological Hospital, which saved my life, basically. And I ran the marathon. I'd done it in like 3 hours, 40 minutes or something. And I'd made a full recovery. I was healthy. So I'd done this marathon for the hospital. And then when I'd done it with Michael, it took him 6 days and whatever amount of hours it was. I can't remember.
Incredible.
A week it took him to finish the marathon. And me and Chris Eubank done the final mile. And I always remember this. He had his hand on my shoulder, and one hand on Chris Eubank's shoulder. We were walking along at a slow pace, and he looks at me, and he's like, "Spence, you know, we're the champions. We've done it. We've pulled through." And I just looked at him, and I thought to myself, "You know what, Spence? You're so lucky. You're so lucky that you are fully able to do everything you can do. You know, and that made me so grateful as well. And I think that had it not been for Michael Watson, who was, I think it happened maybe 7 years before me or so, the medical procedures may not have been in place for me, and I may not have made the recovery that I did. And I was really grateful for that. And me and Michael are still really good friends now. We speak a lot, but he was a big inspiration for me at the time, and he sort of pulled me through. But I always remember that moment when I thought to myself, stop being so selfish. Yeah, one door's shut, but there's another door open here, and there's people to help you through it. And I was shutting them people out, but I realised that, look, it's time to move on now. And I think that's sort of how I pulled through it.
That idea of counting your blessings and seeing yourself as lucky rather than as a victim of what happened to you, was that something you had to remind yourself of, kind of like a daily routine?
Absolutely. That's something that I had to find as well, because I was a victim. I thought, I'm a victim, and you know, why me? And I was bitter and I was twisted about it. And I had to find that myself and just say, and then I just remembered saying to myself, stop being so selfish. No, you've pulled through, and there's been many that haven't. All right, then that happens. But you know, whatever job you choose to do, or I chose to be a boxer, they, you know, the consequences could be fatal. And you know, I had something tragic that happened to me, but I come through it. Now, I knew the risks involved in the sport. I still went ahead to do the sport, and all right, I was unlucky. I got dealt a bad card, but I come through the other side. And I think that's how I sort of pulled myself through it. It was like, yeah, just saying to myself, look, Spence, you're still able to do everything you can do. You've still got a career ahead of you if you want to do it. You know, I'm still heavily involved in Sky TV. I've still got a good lot of people around me. And, yeah, and that's sort of how I pulled myself through. And that's how I had to remind myself every day. Say, you know, when I was feeling down that, yep, I couldn't box anymore, I had to remind myself that, look, you've been given that second opportunity.
There are certain things you can't do if you're going to be a top-level fighter. You can't be out drink until the early hours. You have to really watch what you eat.
Yeah.
How did you cope with that suddenly being available to you and being fine?
Yeah, that's what I really struggled with, Nick. I think that because if anybody knew me, you ask anybody that knew me, I trained hard than anyone ever trained. I lived, slept, boxing. My diet was perfect, everything. And that was one of the things that I had trouble with dealing with. I didn't go off the rails in between bites or whatever. I was so disciplined, it was unreal. So that's what I was... Why me? Why am I struggling with this? And then when I was given the opportunity, when it was all over, and I was fully able to go out and have a pint of beer or do whatever I want, you would take that opportunity and take it to excess. So you'd go out and you'd drink till you was the last one out and whatnot. And so, yeah, you've got to deal with being able to control all that, like you control yourself going through a fight. You've got to try and discipline yourself. And that's eventually what I've done. I mean, I had my years of going out and partying and doing whatever, like everyone does when their career's finished. But there's a time when you say, you know what, now you've got to pull your socks up. And I've done that. And that's what I was saying, Nick, that I think only you can do that as an individual yourself. And that's what I've done, yeah.
Did you find it hard to talk to people when you were struggling?
Oh, yeah.
Trying to deal with it. And how did you kind of get around to opening up to people about what you were going through?
It's a funny story. So I met my partner, Nicola, who I've been with now for 19 years. So I met her, or 18 years, sorry. So I met her just shortly after my accident and whatnot. And she was the first person that I really opened up to about it, because everyone I opened up to about it would say, well, don't worry, Spence. You know, you're all right now, you're okay, but that wasn't the answer I needed at that time. It's like, yeah, I know I'm okay, but my career's gone and I'm struggling still with it. So I couldn't really speak to anyone. I remember one time on the anniversary, I think it was like my second anniversary of me having the accident, second or third anniversary, and I was still struggling with times. And I got sackloads of, because back then it was all about people writing to you. I'm going to sound old, didn't I? When I say that, it was like, people, do you know what I mean? I had black globe when I was in hospital. I got letters from some of the craziest people, like, and in Liverpool football team, Jamie Redknapp, and wishing me well wishes, basically. And I sat down one night with Nicola, and we was having a glass of wine, and I was going through all the letters, and it was just so heartwarming. And I opened up to her, and she sort of didn't judge me on it and say anything. She just listened, and I think that was a massive thing for me as well.
Was that a relief, Spence?
Afterwards, you're the first person to ever listen to what I'm going to say, instead of saying to me, oh, don't worry, you're all right. That's not what I wanted to hear at the time.
Was that a big relief, Spence? Sort of weight off your shoulders, being able to talk like that?
Yeah, it was a turning point for me, a massive turning point. That's when I felt like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. I thought, finally, someone's listened to me, and they've not judged me or not told me that I was fortunate. I don't want them to tell me that. I know that. I just wanted someone to listen. And I think that, that was a massive turning point for me.
It has been 20 years since your injury and since everything changed. What do you think you've learned about yourself in that time?
Oh, just to live life to the full, really. For me, it's like, you know me, Nick, we've known each other many years now as well. We've worked together a lot. And people say to me, are you never unhappy? And I go, listen, I've been given a second chance, mate. No, I'm not unhappy. I live for the day. And I think that I've just learned to, just find myself, rediscover myself. And, that's it, really. Just learn and rediscover myself. I think it was a roller coaster that I went through, and it was a really tough time. And I'd hit depression, and I'd hit everything. I was drinking. I was doing all the stuff really that was just spiraling out of control. Mm. And I pulled myself back through it, and I think that sort of made me the person that I am today. So I think that's what I take from it all. I look back on it now and just think, wow, what a roller coaster that was. But I'm in a really good place now, and a better place than I've ever been, if I'm honest.
You do seem like you're in a great place, Spence. I hate to potentially bring you down here, but is there anything that nowadays that happens when those dark thoughts, whatever those dark thoughts you had 20 years ago, 19 years ago, where they maybe get triggered back into your mind?
Never. I've deleted them from my mind. Mm. I think that was the best way of dealing with it. I sort of dealt with them, then I deleted them. I didn't just delete them, I dealt with them. Yeah. I went through what I went through. And like I said to you, I went through some dark times. I was going out a lot, I was drinking a lot, I was doing all the stuff you shouldn't be doing. And I pulled myself through it. And once I pulled myself through it, I deleted that from my mind. And I'm one of those characters that is, I'm a very optimistic person. I'm a sort of straightforward, blinkers on, just keep going type of guy. And so when I've got negative stuff in my life, I sort of delete it out of my life. And then that's what I've done, really. I remember everything. I remember the journey that I've been on. And like I say, it sort of made me the person that I am. And I don't look back. I never look back, mate. I only look forward.
Are you proud of yourself, Spence?
Yeah, I am proud of myself. It was a difficult journey, Nick. I couldn't even begin tell you how difficult it was. It was times when I felt like giving up, right? And that's the truth. When it happened to me, and I was trying to find myself as a person, I've had conversations now with some of my really good colleagues like Adam Smith and whatnot, and I said to him, there was times when I felt like giving up. There was times when I thought, what's the point? You know what I mean? My life's been taken from me. My life was boxing. That's how passionate I was about it. And so I'm proud of myself just sort of to have turned it around, turned that negative into a positive, and I've fixed my life, and I've put myself back on track, and yeah, I'm flying.
The umbrella here is boxing that we're talking about, but the bigger theme is mental health. And whilst your experience was obviously a very extreme experience, there'll be a lot of people out there who are going through a situation where maybe there's been a dramatic change in their life, or they're just scared for the future. They're worried, and they're not sure what's going to happen to them, and maybe they've gotten themselves in a state, like you were saying, the depression that you had to deal with. Is there any sort of advice you could give for people that maybe might be able to help them out if they're in this sort of situation?
Well, listen, I think that they've just got to. I know a lot of people that are boxing around my time that have been through tough times and not come out the other side. and are in depression or have hit the drink and have lost everything or whatever. And I think that sort of, you know, my advice is to don't pity yourself. You know, we was given the shot, and yeah, we was, you know, we was, you know, at the heights, we was, it was the fact of people wanting photos with you, people wanting you to sign autographs, and yet that always comes to an end. And I think that's the problem with a lot of boxers, that they never think about what's going to happen after boxing. And that's something that all boxers need to think about, you know, because it does always, you know, the train stops and you have to get off. And I think that, you know, don't pity yourself that, oh, you never got the paydays that Ricky Hatton got, or you never got the paydays that Anthony Joshua got, because that's the way it is. That's life. But I think that, you know, you've succeeded in what you've done. You know, you've made those heights. Now just deal with it and get on with the next chapter of your life. And I think that the people, sort of, that's what happens to a lot of ex-fighters who things don't go quite right, or maybe not achieve what they wanted to have achieved. But they've got to remember that they've still done well. And I think that a lot of fighters feel sorry for themselves. And I think that that's where you go wrong. That's where you go massively wrong. Because when you start feeling sorry for yourself, you fall into depression. And you don't even realise you're falling into depression. And once you're in, it's difficult to get out. Mm. So I think you've just got to try and channel your energy somewhere else straight away, whether that means becoming a trainer, putting something back into the sport. Just don't sit there in self-pity. That's a bad thing.
There might be people listening to this as well, people who've got friends, nothing to do with boxing, who are completely outside of the sport, who have got friends of their own who are struggling. And like you were saying there, how important Nicola was to you in terms of opening up and having a non-judgmental ear to listen. Is that what you'd advise people to do?
100%.
If they've got a friend who's struggling, how would you encourage them to approach the situation?
To approach the situation, to ask them, to listen to them, just to listen to them. Don't judge them. Don't tell them what to do. Just listen, because I think the listening is what people that are depressed, they want people to listen. They don't want them to tell them what to do. That's the worst thing you can do, because that makes them more depressed. Mm. I think that anybody out there that knows a friend that's struggling and is in depression or whatever else, I think they just need to go there and say, listen, let's talk. You know, tell me what's going on. Just listen. Don't judge. Just listen. That's my advice.
Well, Spence, it's not what we normally talk about together, but an absolute pleasure to have you on Off the Canvas podcast today, Spence. Thank you so much for your time, mate.
Nick, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. And it was weird reliving all that, if I'm honest. And even now, I was getting emotional thinking back, and that's 20 years on. So yeah, it's crazy, mate. It's crazy, but it's been a pleasure coming on.
Spence, thank you so much, mate.
Thanks, Nick. Cheers, mate. Bye bye.
Great to hear from Spencer there, talking about how he managed to overcome those really dark and troubling times 20 years ago. Now, if you are feeling down, or for any reason you've hit a bit of a wall and need to talk or find some information, then please visit www.thecalmzone.net or call 0800 58 58. Calls from the UK are free from landlines, payphones and all mobiles. Thanks again for listening.